welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, showcasing programs from the golden age of radio. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Later on, we hear the Bickersons from 1951. Right now, it's the adventures of Ozzie and Harriet, with Ozzie Nelson and Harriet Hilliard from November 7th, 1948 on NBC.
Breakfast is ready, Pop.
Oh, thanks, Ricky. I bet I know what we're going to have, too. Orange juice, boiled eggs, toast, and coffee.
We forgot something very important.
For breakfast?
Well, we're not going to eat it, but it's on the table and we can't eat without it.
Oh, you're so right. Not only that, the solid silver with beauty that lives forever is international sterling.
Solid silver with beauty that lives forever is International Sterling. From Hollywood, International Silver Company, creators of International Sterling, presents The Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet, starring America's favorite young couple, Ozzie Nelson and Harriet Hilliard. In at the Nelson household at 1847 Rogers Road, it's just a little past breakfast time. David and Ricky are outside somewhere, and Ozzie and Harriet are just finishing their coffee.
More coffee, dear?
No, thanks.
You didn't finish your eggs, did you?
No, I had plenty, thanks. How come you fried them this morning?
Oh, I don't know, dear. It's just that you've had boiled eggs every morning for so long, I thought I'd give you a little change and fry them. You didn't like them, did you?
Oh, I ate them, most of them.
Yes, but you didn't like them, I could tell. You didn't smile.
Well, I never smile when I'm eating eggs. That is, unless it's a wide egg sandwich.
I'm sorry. I thought you might like them a little different for a change.
Oh, there's nothing wrong with them. It's just that you sort of get used to a certain breakfast. I just figure, why change something just for the sake of changing?
Suppose that's a masculine attitude. Personally, I kind of like to do things differently once in a while. Get a fresh outlook. Maybe I'm just in a reckless mood today. I've even been thinking of having my hair cut. How do you think I'd look with one of the new short haircuts?
Well, I wouldn't want you to get a crew cut.
Don't be silly, dear. You know I never get a crew cut in the winter. It's much too cold. I'm surprised you haven't noticed, though. No, practically all the girls are wearing shorter hairdos lately.
Women are sure hard to figure out. Men like women with long hair and short skirts, and look what happened.
It's reverse psychology, dear. Women do the opposite to get the things they want. Look at the attention women have had in the past 2 years.
I suppose so.
And you don't want me to get my hair cut.
Well, I don't care. After all, it's your head.
Funny thing, I noticed that when I was brushing my teeth this morning.
You asked me for my opinion, I told you. I like your hair the way it is. If you want to get it cut, for goodness sakes, go ahead. It's your head. Oh, I said that.
You know, it's funny how men get set in their ways. Seems to be a masculine trait to resist any sort of a change. You're used to boiled eggs, fried won't do. You're used to seeing my hair long, so you don't want me to get it cut.
Well, it isn't a question of men being set in their ways. At least I'm not. I like my eggs boiled. I've liked them boiled for years. Just because I like the same things year after year doesn't mean I'm set in my ways.
What does it mean?
Oh, it means I'm in a rut. I just like certain things. Fact of the matter is, I don't care how you fix my eggs, and I don't care how you wear your hair. Have it cut short, fry it, boil it, poach it.
It's nothing to get excited about.
I'm getting excited. You said I was set in my ways because I like boiled eggs, and it isn't true. To show you, tomorrow you can fix my eggs any way you want to. Fry them, scramble them, or poach them. It won't make a bit of difference because I won't eat them.
Hi, Oz.
Oh, hiya, Thorny.
Oh, be careful, Oz. Don't lean on the wet paint.
Huh? Oh, I painted your fence. I thought you just painted it last spring.
It's Catherine's idea. It was green before to match the lawn.
Now she wants it white. Expects to have a lot of snow this winter.
Women get some great ideas, don't they?
Yeah, you never know what they're going to think of next.
So changeable. One day it's one thing, the next day it's something else. They're never satisfied to leave things as they are.
Yeah, that's feminine nature, I suppose.
Let me ask you one thing, Thorny. How do you like your eggs cooked?
Sunny side up. Are we going to eat here in the yard?
Now, I happen to be a guy who likes boiled eggs in the morning. All of a sudden, out of a clear sky, I get fried eggs this morning.
Well, I hope you didn't take a thing like that sitting down on. If I were you, I'd object plenty. Run an ad in the paper. I will not be responsible for any eggs fried by my wife.
Not only the eggs, it's a whole big silly thing. What would you say, Thorny, if your wife walked up right now and said she wanted to have her hair cut? Would you object?
Well, I certainly would. I'd put my foot down. I'd tell her positively not.
That's right, Thorny, because you like her hair the way it is, nice and long.
Well, not necessarily long, Oz. I just wanted to have hair. She had it cut yesterday.
Just because I like Harriet's hair the way it is and my eggs boiled, right away I'm set in my ways. You've known me for years, Thorny. Am I set in my ways? Am I a stick in the mud, a fuddy-duddy, narrow-minded? The answer is no.
Oz, if you ask me a question, let me answer it.
You feel that you're set in your ways, Thorny?
Not necessarily.
Of course not, but women don't see it that way. Just because a guy enjoys boiled eggs in the morning, they want to change him, switch to fried eggs. Does that make any sense? No.
There you go answering it.
This is Wednesday. We go bowling tonight. We bowl every Wednesday night. Does that mean that we're...
No.
That we're set in our ways? No.
Beat you that time.
I'm on my way down to the drugstore to get some ice cream, vanilla and chocolate. I always get vanilla and chocolate simply because I like vanilla and chocolate. Doesn't mean I'm set in my ways.
I'll walk you down, Oz. I think the new Esquire magazine is in.
Oh, thanks. See, there you are. You always walk me down on Wednesday. It just happens that Esquire magazine usually comes in on a Wednesday. Doesn't mean that you're set in your ways. As a matter of fact, you don't even have to buy Esquire. You could buy the Ladies' Home Journal if you wanted to.
Well, sure, if I was a lady.
I mean, if you really wanted to, you could buy the Ladies' Home Journal instead of Esquire. You could do it because you aren't set in your ways.
But I like Esquire, huh?
Yeah, but you could buy the Ladies' Home Journal, though, Thorny. That's the point I'm trying to make.
Oz, I don't think I'll walk you down to the drugstore today.
Why not?
I have a feeling I'd come home with a Ladies' Home Journal.
Hello?
Hello, Harriet. It's Mother.
Oh, hello, Mother. How's your cold?
Oh, I'm nearly back to normal, dear. The doctor gave me a shot of a wonderful serum yesterday. Fixed me up overnight.
Oh, that's fine.
Of course, I still cough a little and sneeze a little, squeeze a little.
Well, I thought you were all fixed up.
Well, the hives are gone.
Hives?
The hives from the first shot.
Oh, you had two shots?
Yes. One was for my cold, but my system had a negative reaction and I broke out in hives. So he gave me the second shot for the hives.
What did he do for your cold?
Well, I'm going over to see him in a few minutes. Of course, he's working under a handicap. He's sick of that with a cold himself. How are Ozzie and the boys?
Oh, fine, thanks.
Oh, I almost forgot, Harriet. Now, listen to this. On the way downtown this morning, I saw the most beautiful beige rug in the Emporium window. Just perfect for your living room.
I'm way ahead of you, Mother.
You've seen it?
Mm-hmm, yesterday. In fact, I'm having it delivered tonight while Ozzie's at the bowling alley.
You're going to surprise him?
In a way, yes. You know how men resist any changes around the house. I figure if he walks in and there it is in familiar surroundings, he's much more apt to like it.
Oh, just like your father. I remember I wanted new kitchen linoleum once, so I had the man put it down. Had it all waxed before your father came home.
Did he like it?
I think he would have if he hadn't broken his arm when he walked in. But I think you're doing a smart thing, dear.
I hope so. I figure it's worth trying anyway.
Let me know how it works out.
Okay, Mother. Goodbye.
Mr. Nelson!
Oh, hello, Emmy Lou.
I haven't talked to you, Mr. Nelson. Be sure and go down to the Bijou this week. They have a picture there that's simply terrific.
Oh, really?
Oh, it's so good. It's a return engagement of a re-release of a remake by special request of the manager.
Oh, What's the name of it?
Tyrone Power.
That's a good name for a picture.
Oh, it's such a wonderful movie, Mr. Nelson. Somebody ought to make a book out of it. It's about a man who's completely irresponsible. Oh, I just adore irresponsible men. And the woman in the picture, she was irresponsible, too.
An irresponsible woman?
They were. They kissed on the street. They kissed on the bus. They kissed in crowded railroad stations. They wanted people to see them kissing. Even when the hero took the heroine home, he'd strike a match so people could see him kissing goodnight.
Oh, well, that's very interesting, Emmy, but I've got to go down to the drugstore.
Oh, he was so romantic, so unpredictable. Toward the end of the picture, he held the girl in his arms, and everyone in the theater thought they'd get married. But they didn't. He didn't even kiss her.
Maybe he ran out of matches.
You should have seen him. He wouldn't work. He was undependable. He was fickle. He had bad habits. He beat her. He was irresponsible. He didn't earn a living. He borrowed money from her. He told lies. He cheated. He gambled. Gee, he was cute.
You mean to say that women really think that kind of a man is more attractive?
Of course they do. What fun is a man who does exactly the same thing every day? What fun is it when you know exactly when your husband is coming home?
Oh, say, that reminds me. I'm late now.
It takes all the joy out of life to have a dull, stodgy, conservative husband. Women like thrills, excitement. They like a man who's impetuous, gay, devil-may-care.
Watch your language, Emmy Lou.
They like a wild life with an exciting man. A man who does fantastically imaginative, unpredictable things. I imagine you were that way when you were young, weren't you, Mr. Nelson?
What do you mean when I was young, Emmy Lou? I'm not so dependable. I'm not set in my ways. Nobody knows what I'm going to do next. Let me show you something. Wait till I pull up my trouser legs. Look at those garters. One green, one rubber band.
Well, I don't want to keep you. Where'd you say you were going?
Down the drugstore and get the ice cream for dinner.
Oh, yes, a pint of chocolate and a pint of vanilla.
No, there's where you're wrong. I'm getting a quart of Tutti Frutti.
Oh, Mr. Nelson, you're so unpredictable.
Something very mysterious has happened to that solid, dependable citizen, Ozzie Nelson. For 8 years now, on Wednesday night, Ozzie would walk into Miller's drugstore, go over to the soda fountain, and buy 2 pints of ice cream, one chocolate and one vanilla. But tonight, the routine has been broken. Ozzie's set pattern of living has come unstitched. Instead of 2 pints, one chocolate and one vanilla, he stepped up to the counter and said,
"Give me a quart of Tutti Frutti."
What frivolity, what irresponsibility. But if you think that was unpredictable, listen to what he did as he was leaving the store. Instead of walking to the door, looking over his left shoulder and saying, "Goodbye, George," as he's done for the past 8 years, Ozzie walked to the door, looked over his right shoulder and said,
"So long, Charlie."
Pop hasn't come home yet.
I don't know, David. He should have gotten back from the drugstore at 5:30. It's almost 5:45.
Maybe he had an accident.
Oh, Pop wouldn't have an accident on his bowling night.
That's right. He only has accidents when spring cleaning comes around.
Have you told Pop about the rug yet, Mom?
No, and don't you either. I want to surprise him. A man's coming tonight to put the rug down while your father's bowling, so let's not say anything about it and spoil a surprise, huh?
Okay, you better tell Ricky, though. He's such a blabber, Mom.
Oh, yeah?
Hey, I think that's Pop now. I hear a car out front.
Oh, no, it couldn't be, Daddy. He didn't take the car today.
Maybe he bought a new one.
Hi there, everybody.
Hello, dear.
Hi, Pop.
What was the car out in front? Thorny bring you home?
No. You know how irresponsible I am, Harriet. On an impulse of the moment, I took a cab home.
Clear from downtown?
No, from the drugstore down at the corner.
You called a cab just to drive up the hill?
Yeah, wasn't that a silly thing to do? I don't know why I do those things. I'm just so unpredictable.
You better give me that ice cream. I predict it'll be dripping on the floor.
Ice cream? Oh, yes, the package here. Here, take this, David. I'm so irresponsible lately.
Hey, Pop, what kind of ice cream is this?
Oh, that's Tutti Frutti, David.
What's Tutti Frutti?
It's ice cream with little pieces of Frutti and chunks of Tutti all mixed.
How come you didn't get chocolate and vanilla, Pop?
I thought Tutti Frutti would be nice for a change.
Gee, I don't know if I'm going to like Tutti Frutti.
Well, you'd better like it, Ricky. If you don't eat your Tutti Frutti ice cream, you won't get any dessert. No, that doesn't sound right. Harriet, if the boys don't eat their dessert, what don't they get?
They don't get any carrots.
Don't get your carrots. Now put the ice cream in the refrigerator, will you, Dave? I think I'll sit down on the floor and read the paper.
The floor? What's wrong with the chair?
Oh, I always sit in a chair to read. I'll try the floor for a change. You want the back section of the paper, dear?
Mozzie, that isn't the Evening Bugle.
No, I didn't get the bugle.
But you always get the Evening Bugle.
Well, I didn't this time. I got the Morning Trombone.
I think it's called Tribune, dear.
Tribune, trombone, what's the difference? Both musical instruments. Let's see what's in the paper.
Are you comfortable, dear?
Of course I'm comfortable. Why shouldn't I be comfortable?
Well, aren't you going to take off your overcoat?
Well, why? Is there any law that says a man has to take off his overcoat? I just feel like wearing my overcoat.
What happened? Did you forget to put on your pants?
I just feel like wearing my overcoat.
Ozzie, what's the matter with you?
Nothing, dear. Can I help it if I'm irresponsible, unpredictable?
Who said you were?
Well, I really am. Nobody knows what I'll do next.
Well, I do. You'll wash your hands for dinner. It'll be ready in a few minutes.
What time are we having dinner tonight?
Same time we have it every night, 6:00.
Let's have it at 9 instead.
Well, if you think you can hold off until 9:00.
No, not 9:00. 9 minutes after 6. You want to start living on a precise schedule, doing the same things day in and day out? Let's be a little different.
It's all right with me, dear.
In fact, when I wash my hands, you know what I'm going to do?
I can't imagine.
I'm going to dry them on hers.
Not so loud, Ricky. Do you want to spoil the surprise?
Well, Daddy always leaves to the bowling alley promptly at 8:00, so I told the man to get here a little after 8.
Harriet!
In here!
Harriet, have you seen my banjo anyplace?
Banjo? I didn't know you had one.
Oh, yes. I thought I'd get it out and play a few tunes. You know, something a little different.
Well, you don't have time. Have you forgotten tonight is your bowling night? Oh, my goodness, it's 8:00. You'd better hurry, dear. I put your shoes and the bowling ball right by the front door. You don't even have to go upstairs.
You don't understand, Harriet. I'm not going bowling tonight.
But you have to. The man is... I mean, that is...
What man?
That man that lives next door. Yes, that's it, Thorny. You wouldn't want to disappoint Thorny, your old pal.
Yeah, that would be a dirty trick, wouldn't it? Well, if you insist... Harriet, stop pushing me.
I wasn't pushing you, dear. I was just patting you on the back because it's so good of you not to disappoint a friend.
It's the first time I've ever been patted on the back with two hands and a knee. Seems like you're awful anxious to get me out of the house.
Oh, don't be ridiculous. David, get your father's hat.
Here it is, Mama. I got it right here.
Here, Papa, help me on with your coat.
Good. I don't think I'll wear a coat. I know it's cold out, but I'm so unpredictable.
Well, you better carry it on your arm. Now, hurry, dear. You'd want to keep the other man waiting.
Good night, Pop.
Good night, dear.
Whole family is getting unpredictable.
What happened, Oz? You didn't stop by for me.
Oh, I was just on my way over, Thorny. So we're a few minutes late. Who cares? You know, it's the funny thing. Harriet... Something the matter?
That man over there. I think he's looking for an address or something.
Pardon me, gentlemen. Could you tell me... Say, aren't you Thornberry?
Well, yes, but
Don't you remember me? Mulligan. I was the other end man at the Elks Mistress Show.
Oh, of course. How are you? Glad to see you. This is Mr. Nelson.
Oh, glad to know you.
Glad... Well, I remember you, Mulligan. Didn't you do the ringmaster in the big circus number two?
Yeah, that's right.
Well, sure, you were the head of the show.
Oh, go away now. Toward nothing at all.
Say, what are you doing over in this neck of the woods?
Well, I came over here to deliver a rug. Some woman had to have it put down tonight. Her husband's a bonehead that don't like to have things changed around.
What's the address on it?
1847 Rogers Road. Name's Nelson. Do you know them, Mr. Nelson?
Well, yes, that's my house.
Oh, then you're the... No offense at what I said, Mrs. Nelson. I didn't know you were the bonehead.
No wonder Harriet was so anxious to get me out of the house.
She pulled a fast one, huh?
That's what she thinks, Thorny. But I just thought of a terrific gag we could pull. Mr. Mulligan, would you care to join us?
Thanks, I'd be glad to. Better make mine a short one, though, during working hours.
No. No, I mean in the gag. Now, listen here. You've all heard the expression, snug as a bug in a rug. Well, you and Mulligan carry the rug.
Put the lamp in the dining room, David. I want the floor in here as clear as possible.
What do I do with this footstool, Mom?
You better put that in the dining room, too.
See, the dining room's starting to look like the living room.
Or the attic. Come on, Slowpoke. I'm not going to do all the work.
Now, cut it out, you guys. I'll send you both to bed. Just a minute.
Mrs. Nelson?
Oh, yes, good evening. Would you just bring the rug in here, please? Well, Thorny, what are you doing?
Oh, I met Mulligan outside, and I just thought I'd give him a hand.
You know, these rugs are pretty heavy.
I'm sorry about making you deliver it tonight, Mr. Mulligan.
Oh, that's all right. I wasn't doing anything in particular, just eating dinner. careful with that, Ann, Mr. Thornberry.
What makes the rug so lumpy?
Oh, that. Well, What does make the rug so lumpy, Mr. Thornberry?
Well, it is probably just the underpad. They sometimes get bunched up when the rug is rolled.
Yeah, sure. That happens all the time. Now, if you just step to one side, Mrs. Nelson, we'll unroll the rug for you.
No, don't unroll it. Just stand it there in the corner.
Stand it in the corner? But I don't remember which end of the head. I mean, the upper.
If Ozzie doesn't like it, Mr. Mulligan will just have to come back tomorrow and roll it up again. Just throw it in the corner until I find out how Ozzie likes it.
Believe me, Harriet, he's going to like it a lot better unrolled.
Oh, but Thorny, he's such an unpredictable person. He might not even want a new rug.
Oh, let him unroll it, Mom.
Please, Mom, we want to see it.
Well, okay, unroll it.
Hurry up, Mulligan, let's go.
Wait a minute, I've got to make me speech. And now, ladies and gentlemen, the wonder of the age. You are about to witness the only time in history a man, cold sober, mind you, has been rolled in his own living room. Heave-ho!
Surprise, everybody.
Why, Ozzie!
Water.
Ozzie was rolled up in the rug.
Cool, clear water.
Oh, how clever.
Surprise.
Oh, Ozzie, how unpredictable. Ozzie?
Hmm?
Are you mad at me for buying the rug?
No, dear. Go to sleep.
How do you like it?
Like what?
The new rug.
Well, it's a little tight through the shoulders. Kind of warm and scratchy, but it's a nice rug to be rolled up in.
Do you like the color?
Oh, black is all right.
It's beige.
Look black where I was.
Tell me truthfully, dear. Do you like the rug?
Yes, I really do. I've never been smothered by a nicer one.
I was a little worried after the way you talked at breakfast. Men always seem to resist changes of any kind around the house.
I guess that's the way nature works it out. Women are fundamentally insecure, so they want to change everything. Men like things comfortable, familiar. Sometimes I even make believe I don't notice new things, but I do.
Oh, darling, I'm so glad you said that. I was afraid you hadn't noticed my hair.
Your hair?
Yes, I was afraid you might not like it cut short. What are you doing?
Going to turn the light on for a minute.
I pulled out the plug. Now tell me, do you think I should get my hair cut?
Harriet, don't be silly. You think I didn't notice that you got your hair cut short?
You like it, dear?
Very much. Harriet.
Yes, dear?
Did you really get it cut?
No, I didn't, dear, but now that I know how much you like it, I'll have it cut first thing in the morning.
I guess I'm just an old stick in the mud or a creature of habit or something. This is the kind of a breakfast I like.
Well, that's good, dear.
No surprises or changes. My two medium-boiled eggs. Not too hard, not too soft. Always the same. My coffee, exactly the same flavor and consistency. Oh, you're wonderful, dear. Even the toast never varies. Always the same. Will you pass me the toast, David, please? Thank you.
Tune in again next week to another adventure of Ozzie and Harriet, starring Ozzie Nelson and Harriet Hilliard.
And remember, the solid silver with beauty that lives forever is International Sterling.
Yes, Harriet, the solid silver with beauty that lives forever is International Sterling. Appearing in support of Ozzie and Harriet were John Brown, Tommy Bernard, Henry Blair, Janet Waldo, Loreen Tuttle, and Jack Kirkwood. Original music was composed and conducted by Billy Mays. This program originates in the Hollywood studios of the National Broadcasting Company and is also broadcast over the Trans-Canada Network of the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation. This is Vern Smith speaking.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
The Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet on Tuned to Yesterday from November 7th, 1948 on NBC. It's an hour of sitcoms on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. And now we hear Lou Parker and Frances Langford as the Bickersons in the first broadcast of the show under that title, though very popular with Don Ameche as John Bickerson. He had not stayed with the radio series so he could continue to pursue a very busy movie career, but a great broadcast next, nevertheless, from CBS from June 5th, 1951.
Now we present the first in a new series of programs transcribed starring Miss Frances Langford and Mr. Lou Parker. Together, they will portray the lead characters in Philip Rapp's humorous creation, The Bickersons. And as the battling John and Blanche, they will bring you an unretouched picture of domestic tranquility. But first, here's Lou Parker as Lou Parker.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, and good evening. I'm quite sure you're all waiting to meet that gracious young lady who has earned the undying love and gratitude of our boys both here and overseas for her tireless efforts in still another role. Here she is, the purple-heart girl, Miss Frances Langford.
Thank you, Lou.
In the Bickerson bedroom, there is an infernal machine. With the persistent, inexorable ticking common to all time bombs, it gradually approaches the hour that will shatter the ears and destroy the happiness of the unsuspecting John. It's a matter of seconds now. 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
I wish I was dead.
All right. Blanche.
Wait a minute, I'm putting a ribbon in my hair.
Where are you going?
Going anywhere. Just thought I'd like to look nice for this morning.
Why?
I knew you'd forget. You did forget. Today happens to be our wedding anniversary.
I didn't forget it.
Then why didn't you say something?
I just opened my eyes.
Well, we've been married 8 years. What do you want to do?
Nothing. It's too late now.
I mean, haven't you got any plans for tonight?
Sure, I got it all worked out. I'm going to take you to dinner and a burlesque show.
No, you're not. I'm having a party tonight.
Then what did you ask me for? Where's my pants? Somebody stole my pants.
Nobody stole your pants.
I just looked under the bed and they're not there.
Here are your pants.
Thanks. Blanche, these aren't my pants.
Then whose pants are they?
That's a good question. Only I should be asking it.
Don't be so funny in the morning. They were baggy, so I pressed them.
Baggy? It
took me an hour to find the right crease. Be careful, you'll wrinkle them.
What's the difference? I like my pants to look lived in.
You're dragging the cuffs on the floor. Hold your trouser legs with your left hand and step in with your right foot.
Blanche, I've been putting on my own pants for 30 years. I don't need you to foreman the job. Hand me my tie.
Which one?
Doesn't matter. I want to use it for a belt. My suspenders are broken.
Why don't you use your belt?
I'm using it to keep the soles from falling off my shoes.
John Fixon, your shoes
I know it. I haven't got a belt. Where's my shirt?
Your coffee's getting cold.
I don't want any coffee. Where'd you hide my shirt?
Didn't hide it anywhere.
Well, where is it?
I draped it around the canary's cage.
Is my shirt the only rag you can find to cover that cage with?
Hasn't hurt it any, has it?
No, but I don't like the way that bird pokes into my pockets. Every time I take a cigarette out, I'm smoking bird seed. Why do you have to cover the cage anyway?
The canary is sensitive to light.
Well, get him a pair of sunglasses and leave my shirt alone.
Why must you be so mean on our anniversary?
Blanche, I'm not mean. I'm worried. I haven't sold a single vacuum cleaner for 4 weeks.
You sold one on Thursday.
I know, but we bought it. I had to sell something to keep him getting fired. I'd like to take it back, Blanche. I can't make the payments on it.
You leave it alone. We'll need it when we get a carpet.
Okay. Bye.
Aren't you going to drink your coffee?
I haven't got time.
Well, come home early.
Yeah. I'll see you later, Blanche. Goodbye.
John!
What?
I've been standing here waiting for you to kiss me goodbye, and you haven't even looked at me.
I looked at you.
What do you mean by that?
Nothing, Blanche. I'm late.
Have you got your sample?
Here it is. Don, vacuum cleaner gets heavier every day. Straighten this hose around my neck, will you, Blanche?
There. Got everything?
I guess so. Wait a minute, you got any money?
Well, there's a quarter in the sugar bowl.
A quarter?
You can bring me the change when you come home.
Now, listen, Blanche, something's got to be done about this. I can't get out of work like a pauper every day. A man's got to have a couple of dollars in his pocket.
Well, don't yell at me.
Well, I don't mind going in torn clothes, holes in my socks, but I'm not going to suffer through those lunches anymore.
What's the matter with your lunches?
You ought to know. You pack them for me. I'm just getting sick of carrying my lunch to work in a paper sack. Why can't I go to a restaurant like the other fellas? Why can't
John,
I order...
John, what are you talking about? I haven't fixed your lunch for 2 years.
Oh, Blanche, every morning of my life, I find my lunch wrapped in brown paper on the side of the sink.
Lunch? That's the garbage.
No wonder nobody wants to swap sandwiches with me. Goodbye, Blanche.
Goodbye, dear, and happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary, dear sister.
Oh, thanks, Clara. Where's Barney?
I'm here. Move away, Clara. What have you done to the place, Blanche?
Oh, I just fixed it up a little for the party tonight. Did you bring the potato salad, Clara?
Well, I was going to tell you about that, Blanche. I had a terrible accident with the potato salad.
I ate it.
Oh, well, we'll get along all right. Don't feel bad about it, Barney.
Who feels bad?
Keep quiet, Barney. I would have made some more, Blanche, only I ran out of potatoes.
Oh, that's all right. I've got plenty of stuff. I've been cooking all morning.
What did you do to your hair?
I had it waved. What's wrong with it?
Nothing. Clara's getting late. Why don't you tell her?
Tell me what?
Barney can't come tonight. He's been invited to a masquerade party at the United Nations pool hall. You know, his friend's place.
No.
Tell her already.
Well, anyway, he wants to go, and it's sort of a hard times party. Everybody's going dressed as a bum.
What are you telling me for?
Well, I thought maybe he could borrow some of John's clothes.
Well, that's a nice thing to say.
Barney, come away from that closet.
Why can't I borrow this old gray suit? Them raglan shoulders are way out of style.
Oh, I forgot about that suit. John never wears it. It just hangs there. You can have it, Barney.
Oh, thanks. The boys will get a kick out of those open-toed pants. You coming, Clara?
In a minute. Blanche, I wonder if you'd mind lending me your vacuum cleaner.
Well, I can't do that, Clara. It's never been used. It's still in the box.
Oh. Well, what's the matter with John's sample?
He's using it for demonstrations. How do you suppose he sells his vacuum cleaners?
With his disposition, I'll never know. Let's go, Barney.
Good morning, madam. I'm from the Eagle Appliances. Paying a call in answer to your letter.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're 20 minutes late, and I've got an appointment at the dentist.
Well, you see, I'll only take a few minutes of your time.
I can't wait. I'm getting my bridge today.
But I just want to see you about...
I'm sorry. Not now. I've got to get to my dentist.
What good are teeth if your house is dirty? Oh, well. How do you like that? 5 o'clock and I haven't even got a foot in a door yet. Well, this is my last call. I'll have to high pressure this one. I've been giving up too easy. Good afternoon, sir. I represent the Eagle Appliance Company, and I'm about to give you your wife a demonstration that will simply amaze her.
My wife ain't home.
Well, no matter. If you'll just follow me into your living room.
Hey, get out of
here. Here we are. And a charming room it is, too.
Look, Buster.
Now then, let's just empty these ashtrays on the floor.
What are you doing?
Hey, how lucky. The wastebasket is full, too. Well, we just scatter this junk all over the place.
Listen, you cut that out.
Now, don't be alarmed, sir. Now I'm going to go over this rug just once. Oh. And if this vacuum cleaner doesn't pick up every single last speck of this filth, I'll eat it.
Well, you better start eating, mister. Our electricity's been shut off.
Oh, hiya, Dickerson. Your wife just called.
Yeah.
Hey, watch it. You'll bust that vacuum cleaner dropping it that way.
What do I care? Look what it's done to me. One of my arms is a foot longer than the other. Feet are killing me, too.
She's worried about you being late for the party.
Yeah. Hand me those sneakers, will you?
Hey, yeah. Sneakers are bad for your feet.
They're my feet.
Hey, you don't seem too happy. How'd it go today?
The only nibble I had all day was from a dog.
Well, tomorrow's another day.
I'm glad you thought of that, Marvin.
It's your anniversary, huh?
Yeah.
What's the matter? Forget to get her a present?
I think I got her one present too many. Picked up a couple of cheap things at first, then I got sentimental and bought her a diamond ring.
A diamond ring?
On time. Nothing down and $10 a week for life. 3 weeks behind on the first payment. Say, listen, Marvin.
Oh, no, you don't, Dickerson. I got no money. And if I did have any, I wouldn't lend it to you. You still owe me $4.
I know that,
but
after...
Nothing doing. If you need money, sell a vacuum cleaner.
Hmm? Yeah. Sell a vacuum cleaner. Yeah. Say, how much will you give me on this vacuum cleaner?
Does it work?
Oh, it's brand new, right off the shelf. It's worth $115. Give me 20 and let me get out of here.
Well, all right. You wait here. I'll go make out the ticket.
Fine.
Place headquarters.
This is the Argyle Pawn Shop. I think I've got the man you've been looking for, the cat burglar.
Does the suspect answer the description in the circular?
Well, he's about 5'10", around 180 pounds, and he's wearing sneakers.
Well, we'll send a squad car over right away.
Please.
Try to stall him till we get there.
Yes.
It was a wonderful anniversary party, Mrs. Bickerson. Too bad John couldn't make it.
I can't understand it, Dr. Hersey. He's never been this late before.
Well, I wouldn't worry about it. He probably got tied up with some tough customer.
Probably. Good night, Doctor.
Thanks, officer. I'll be over in the morning to claim the vacuum cleaner. Please make sure they take my name off the police blotter.
Bickerson, what happened?
Oh, hello, Doc. Nothing. It's a long story. I'll tell you about it some other time.
Well, I certainly enjoyed your party. Happy anniversary.
Thanks.
Oh, I didn't want to tell your wife, Bickerson, but I left a little something for you on the hall table.
Well, thanks.
You needn't pay it until the 10th. You can mail it in with last month's bill. Or if you pass the office, drop in.
Drop dead. Oh, I'm out on my feet. I'll probably be up all night answering Blanche's questions. What a life. If I tell her the truth, she won't talk to me for a week. So, I'll tell her the truth.
The Bickersons have retired. Blanche Bickerson lies tense and sleepless in the dark as poor husband John, tortured by the guilt of having missed his own anniversary party, suffers another attack of intermittent insomnia, or woodchopper syndrome. Listen.
Sounds like he swallowed the thing. Oh, dear. John, turn over on your side. Go on. Stop it.
Stop it, Blanche. What's the matter, Blanche?
Whining and giggling and grunting and snorting is driving me crazy.
Me too, Blanche. Who's doing it?
You're doing it. It amazes me that you can sleep at all with your guilty conscience.
Not guilty. Put out the lights.
I will not. I've got plenty to say to you.
Blanche, what's the matter with you? It's 3 o'clock in the morning. You had a good time tonight. Now, why don't you let me sleep?
I had a miserable time. It was the unhappiest anniversary I ever spent. Why didn't you show up for the party, John?
I told you. I got stuck at the office.
Funny, nobody else got stuck. And everybody who came tonight was sweet and thoughtful, and they all brought presents.
Good.
That's more than you did. The Homers were here, and they brought something. The Hydes were here, and they brought something. Even my sister Clara was here.
What did she take?
She didn't take anything. And if she didn't bring a present, it's because she can't afford it. Barney isn't working.
He never works.
He does, too. It's just that he's recovering from his accident.
What accident?
When he was out looking for a job last month, he tripped over a barrel and 2 cases of bourbon fell on his head.
It was the first time the drinks were ever on him. Go to sleep, Blanche.
You said you didn't have dinner. Why didn't you eat something when you came home?
There wasn't anything left.
Well, who told you to come home so late? Clara took what was left of the ham, and Dr. Hersey cleaned up the spaghetti. I gave Nature Boy the rest of the chicken.
Who's Nature Boy?
Our cat. Did I hear him yell when you came in?
I stepped on him.
Well, what'd you do that for?
I was fighting him for the chicken bones. What do you mean, what did I do that for? It was dark, and he got under my feet.
You never liked that cat.
I like him fine. Just keep him out of my way.
You hated the other cat we had.
Which other cat?
Shiners, the big black one.
Shiners?
You know, the one you said committed suicide after you caught him drinking your bourbon.
He did commit suicide.
I'd love to believe that.
What are you hinting at, Blanche? Cats have been known to commit suicide.
They don't hang themselves.
He didn't hang himself. He got his neck tangled in a ball of twine, and I was trying to loosen it when you walked in. Now, don't start making me into a cat killer.
A man who could forget his own anniversary is capable of anything.
I tell you, I didn't forget.
Not even a card. The least you could have done was send me an anniversary card.
I did send you a card. I told you 50 times I sent you a card. Must have got lost in the mail.
Swear you sent me a card.
I swear. It was trim with lace, and it had a wonderful poem on it. I picked it especially for you.
What did it say on it?
Go to sleep.
Well, if you picked it especially for me, I want to know what it said.
It said, happy anniversary to my love.
That could be anybody.
Let me finish. It said, happy anniversary to my love. My wife, my life, my turtle dove. Life with you is great, it seems. I love you more than pork and beans.
You're only adding insult to injury.
Well, how do I know what it said? I can't remember the stupid poetry they put on those things. Put out the lights.
Torturing me every year on our anniversary.
Oh, dear.
Am I so old and homely that you can't show any affection or sentiment? The trouble with you is you're tired of me.
No, I'm just tired. Good night.
Look at George Wood. There's a wonderful husband for you. He's been in love with the same woman since the day he was married.
Does his wife know about her?
Never mind the sarcasm. If you didn't have those evil thoughts, you'd make a better husband. I'm not a demanding wife. All I ever ask from you is a pleasant smile or a kind word. Wake up, John!
What do you want?
Say something nice to me.
I love you. I adore you. I can't live without you. Now shut up and go to sleep.
Scream at me on our wedding anniversary.
If you'll just keep quiet for a while, I won't scream.
I'm going to talk whether you like it or not.
I don't like it.
Don't forget, Mr. Bickerson, I gave you the best years of my life.
Were those the best?
Keep it up, John. Night after night, I go to sleep crying into my pillow. It's soaked through from my tears. And one kiss would make it all perfect.
Well, throw over your pillow and I'll kiss it.
You see, you're starting again. Is it asking too much for you to be nice to me once a year?
I'm always nice to you.
You never are. You're perfectly horrid. You'd never have a single argument if you'd just give me a little attention.
Well, nobody gives you as little attention as I do.
Well, I'm surprised you admit it. You never take me anywhere. You never show me the slightest consideration.
What consideration? Don't I offer you half the newspaper every morning at breakfast?
You shouldn't read the table at all. When you drive the car up in front of the house, you might be a gentleman and help me in.
Help you in?
Oh, no, I have to fling open the door and throw myself onto the seat.
Well, I slow down, don't I?
Oh, I'd like to see you act that way with Gloria Gooseby.
Now, don't start with Gloria Gooseby.
You'd sure be a gentleman if you had her in your car.
I've had her in my car plenty of times, and I've never been a gentleman.
What?
I mean, I hate Gloria. I wouldn't let her ride on my uniform. Why don't you let me sleep, Blanche?
We've had 8 anniversaries. This is the most miserable one of all.
It's no worse than last year.
Our whole marriage started on the wrong foot. It was your idea to elope, not mine.
Yep.
I wanted to have a real ceremony like all my friends, but you said it was more romantic to elope. We had to be married by the Justice of the Peace.
Should have been the Secretary of War.
You didn't talk that way then. Why didn't you let me have a big ceremony, John?
I wasn't working at the time. I didn't have any money.
Well, you're working now, and I want a real wedding with a big ceremony.
Okay, I'll arrange it next week.
You say it, but you won't do it. Do it now.
What?
Go on, get up and let's get married.
Are you out of your mind, Blanche? It's almost 4 o'clock in the morning and I have to go to work at 7. Why do you do this to me? Haven't I suffered enough for one day?
You haven't suffered half as much as I have. I go to all the trouble of making an anniversary party and you deliberately stay away.
It wasn't deliberate.
Why don't you say you're sorry you married me?
Because I'm not sorry.
Not at all?
Not at all.
Do you hate me?
You know I do.
What?
I mean, I don't hate you. Please let me sleep.
Well, I will as soon as you show me the anniversary present you got for me.
Put out the lights.
Where is it, John?
Hmm?
Where's my anniversary present?
Well, you won't like it.
Well, I know I won't, but I'd like to see it. Hope you didn't spend a lot of money.
I didn't spend a lot of money.
Why not?
Because I didn't have a lot of money. It's just a little old beach bathrobe. It cost
$8. $8? Our 8th anniversary, and that's all I'm worth to you? $8?
Now, listen here, Blanche.
$1 a year for washing your shirts, cooking your meals, darning your socks, raising your children?
We haven't got any children.
Well, what do you want for $1 a year?
Blanche, all I want is sleep. I'll get you something nice tomorrow.
You told me that yesterday. Today's my anniversary. Why couldn't you get me something nice today?
I did, Blanche. I did get you something, but I can't give it to you now. Go to sleep.
What did you get me?
A diamond ring.
Wake up, John. I'm still talking to you.
I'm not sleeping. I really bought it for you.
A diamond ring?
Yeah.
Where is it?
What's the difference? I can't afford it. I'm taking it back in the morning.
I don't believe it. Show it to me.
It's right there in the closet, in the pocket of my old gray suit.
Your gray suit? You mean the one I gave Barney?
That's right. In the left-hand pocket. The one you gave to Barney. Blanche, you didn't.
Don't get hysterical. I emptied out the pockets. The stuff's on the dresser. There wasn't any ring box.
It wasn't in a box. I tied it in my handkerchief. Oh, thank heaven. Here it is.
Oh, John. It's beautiful.
It's got to go back. Take it off.
Such a lovely diamond.
Take it off, Blanche.
Look at it.
I've seen it. Take it off.
Here. Well, it's nice to know that you were thinking of me anyway.
I'm sorry, Blanche. I did want you to have it, but you can see how impossible it is.
I know, dear. You've got enough debts now. It was a wonderful, foolish gesture, and I love you for it.
Keep the ring, Blanche.
Don't be silly, John. You can't afford it.
Keep it. I'll find a way to pay for it. I'll get an extra job or something. Don't worry. Go to sleep.
John.
Hmm.
You can be so sweet when you want to.
Hmm.
I'm so happy. This feels just like when we were first married. You were so kind and considerate. You do love me, don't you, John?
Yes, Blanche, I love you. Good night.
I remember our first anniversary, you were so upset about something, and I kissed you goodnight and tucked you in bed like a baby. In the morning, everything was fine.
Go to sleep, Blanche.
John, would you mind if I just tucked you in bed tonight?
Okay. Tuck me in.
Lift your head, dear, so I can straighten the pillow. Now, let me get these covers under. Mm. Stretch out your feet. There, that's it. Now, all tucked in.
Thanks, darling.
Are you comfortable, sweetheart?
Perfectly.
Are you sure?
I never felt more comfortable in my life.
Fine. Now, you get up and tuck me in.
Good night, Blanche.
Happy anniversary, John.
John and Blanche Bickerson as Francis Langford and Lou Parker.
Well, Francis, that puts the lid on number one for Philip Morris. And I might add that I couldn't think of a more pleasant way of spending a half hour than working opposite you.
Why, thanks, Lou. I think you do a pretty good job yourself.
I think so. Let's hope the listeners agree with us and that they'll be around next week for another session with the Battling Bickersons. And the honeymoon is over. Good night, Francis.
Good night, Lou. Good night, everyone.
The Bickersons came to you transcribed from Hollywood, California. John Holbrook speaking.
The Bickersons on Tuned to Yesterday from June 5th, 1951 on CBS. And that brings to a close this hour of sitcoms on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levenier. Thanks for tuning in.